This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. You know, it's something that a lot of people in Michigan may not have realized, but for many, many years, if you were part of the LGBTQ community here in Michigan, you could have been legally discriminated against in the workplace and in other settings. Despite all of the progress that has been made in equality, in the march toward equality for the LGBTQ community, that has been an outlier. But after a Michigan Supreme Court ruling of 5-2 came down last week, that is no longer the case. Justice Beth Clement, a Republican nominee, wrote the majority opinion for this case. In it, she said, quote, "Discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation necessarily constitutes discrimination because of sex. It is no different, in the court's estimation, than gender discrimination." Amid the United States Supreme Court slate of conservative rulings, this ruling is an interesting one here in Michigan, and it's being hailed by LGBTQ advocates as historic progress. Here to talk with us about this is Jay Kaplan. He's an LGBTQ rights project staff attorney at the ACLU of Michigan. He has joined us several times to talk about this issue. Jay, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah. It's good to be back.
It's great to have you here. So first, just give me your reaction to the court's ruling. As I said, you and I have had this conversation many times in light of the tremendous progress that we've been making in other areas of the law. This has been slow to come, but including LGBTQ rights under Elliott Larson, which is our anti-discrimination law here in Michigan, is a huge step, I think. I would imagine that you would agree.
I couldn't agree with you more. This really is a historic decision. And as a result of last week's decision, that means that LGBTQ people have comprehensive civil rights protections against discrimination, not only in employment, but housing, education, and public accommodations.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I said, this is something that I'm not sure lots of people were necessarily aware of, but describe some of the things, some of the discrimination that members of the LGBTQ community faced in reality before this ruling.
Sure. Well, in addition to employment discrimination, we know that there have been many incidences of discrimination in housing. We've seen just across America legislation attacking LGBTQ youth in schools, and so issues involving education, and then in public accommodations, businesses refusing to provide services to members of the LGBTQ community. And you know, as bad as the discrimination is for gay and lesbian individuals, we see it even more so for members of the transgender community. And so to have these comprehensive civil rights protections, to have a remedy that's now available to members of the community who've encountered this kind of discrimination is, you know, it's something incredibly important.
Yeah. Let's talk a little about the opinion here. Grounding this in gender discrimination is, I think, one of the kind of key findings, and is an important part of understanding why, under the law, LGBTQ discrimination is not permissible.
Yes, and it's not that the Michigan Supreme Court just decided, made this up, you
right.
know, in terms of this theory. 2 years ago, the United States Supreme Court held in the Bostock versus Clayton County decision that when you discriminate against a gay employee for being gay or a transgender employee for being transgender, you do it because of sex. And it relates to the sex that was assigned to them at birth, because often they don't comply with the stereotypical notions about how you're supposed to look or act or present yourself or who you're supposed to love in accordance with the gender that was assigned to you at birth. So what the Michigan Supreme Court what they were deciding, they were applying that Bostock decision to our state civil rights laws.
Yeah. And as I said, the decision was 5-2, and it was written by a Republican member of the court, which is something that we see is in kind of stark contrast to the direction that the U.S. Supreme Court at least seems to be headed, with a majority of Republican members. Talk about the importance of conservative acknowledgement of the real discrimination that that people face and the need to address it.
Yes, yes. No, it can't be underestimated. And, you know, really what this is, it's kind of a conservative legal argument. You're looking at the actual language because of sex. What does that mean? And even in the Bostock decision 2 years ago, now that was a different U.S. Supreme Court, but still you had a 6-3 majority opinion saying that when you discriminate against gay and transgender people, it's because of sex. And so, but it is very gratifying to see that, you know, clearly a majority of the Michigan Supreme Court agrees with this interpretation, which again is a conservative interpretation, saying just look at the language of the statute, and this is what that means. Mm-hmm. And it is a nice antidote to you know, some of the very negative things that we see happening around the country in terms with anti-LGBTQ legislation and you know, the concerns about what the current United States Supreme Court, what's next on the agenda for that majority.
Yeah, yeah. It also strikes me that there is something inherently conservative about restraining government from treating people differently on the basis of sex or sexual orientation. That the idea that the government should have that kind of power to divide Americans or to deny certain Americans privileges or rights because of who they are, that's a conservative argument as well.
Absolutely. And the concern as a result of the U.S. Supreme Court decision in the Dobbs case overturning Roe v. Wade, mm-hmm. the idea that the court is now in a direction where they're taking away established rights from people, you know, from people who've been marginalized in society, that's not a concept that, you know, in the history of the U.S. Supreme Court that we've been used to. And that's why it's gratifying to see that the Michigan Supreme Court is reiterating these, you know, these essential principles, and finding that when you actually look at the statute and you recognize that there are protections for members of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking with Jay Kaplan. He is the project rights staff attorney at the ACLU of Michigan, someone who joins us pretty frequently to talk about the progress that we're making on making LGBTQ people more equal in our society, erasing the discrimination that they face under the law. We're talking about last week's Michigan Supreme Court decision that extends Elliot Larson protection to members of the LGBTQ community here in Michigan. Elliot Larson is our anti-discrimination statute. Jay, we always end these conversations with the same thing, which is, what's next? there are always other frontiers in which we really need to change the law so that it's more protective of everybody. This seems like a pretty big step forward, but I know it's not the last step.
No. So what's next is we have to still be vigilant regarding anti-LGBTQ legislation that gets introduced in our state. You know, a bill has been introduced that would prevent transgender students from being able to play sports in accordance with their gender identity. Mm-hmm. I think that clearly violates the Michigan Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act. So we're going to have to, you know, be able to use our civil rights laws to challenge efforts to try to continue discriminating against LGBTQ people. I think there's some concerns that as a result of what the U.S. Supreme Court did in Dobbs, that, you know, possibly could marriage equality come into question. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that legally married couples have other legal documents in place that protect their relationships and protect their, you know, parent-child relationships in the event that someone should try to challenge the legitimacy of their marriage. You know, we've made a lot of progress in the state of Michigan in the last couple of years, just administratively with better policies, particularly regarding transgender people being able to get accurate identity documents, being able to access health care. And we want to preserve those gains and not see efforts, you know, be successful to try to take away some of those rights.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Jay Kaplan of the ACLU, it is always great to have you here on the show, and I'm glad you were able to come by today to talk about this really important Michigan Supreme Court opinion. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah. Okay, that is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk with a former teacher who is teaching government lessons online and breaking partisan lines by uniting people across the political spectrum. Why are we talking about that tomorrow? Of course, because it is going to be election day. And remember, we really do need everybody who is registered to vote to get out and cast that vote tomorrow, no matter whom you are supporting. The important thing is making your voice heard. A lot of people have already voted via absentee because we have great laws in this state that permit that. But tomorrow is, again, election day when you can always go and cast your ballot. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.